She lured her victims across the world with promises of wealth and wellness. Instead, they were forced into denigrating work for zero pay, all while being told if they resisted, they would be cursed, or worse. When the victims' families and other survivors came forward, authorities finally stepped in. Will other victims come forward? Is her reign of manipulation and abuse truly over? This week's episode is Kat Torres, Model, Influencer, Human Trafficker, Part 2.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
What we got with a Kat Torres? Somebody who's taking something that people practice in love, like witchcraft and Wicca, and bastardizing it for their own personal gain.
Yep, it's not the first time. Certainly won't be the last. She's left a mark on the good name of the good witches that practice all of that. I mean, I am a huge proponent of Wicca and witchcraft, and when used properly and practiced properly, I think it's very, like, connects you with nature and other people and everything. But I don't use it to threaten my quote-unquote followers, friends, coworkers, etc.
No. It's funny that you said witchcraft. I was like, I realize I'm wearing my Buckland Museum shirt, which I just unpacked. That's how bad I am at unpacking. But we went to if you are in the Cleveland area, we highly recommend the Buckland Museum of witchcraft. It is incredible. Our guide was phenomenal. We got to take a tour there. So yeah, something like that, where you want to know what witchcraft really is, a place like the Buckland Museum, or where practitioners are open and, like, you know, like, this is how we practice. This is how covens work, versus send me $700 and then I won't curse you. It's like, well, one of you is the evil televangelist on TV, and the other one is the actual, you know, minister that goes out and feeds people on the weekends. You know, like the good person who's just trying to practice their religion.
She's just a scam artist.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. I mean, like so many others we've covered, it's just a little different packaging, but the message and end result are always the same, and that is me, 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 money, money, money.
Money, money, money. And preying on these, we'll hear vulnerable folks who, who's, you know, they were once beloved members of their family, hopefully are again, but just doing nothing but getting a video recommended to you, like all of us do when we're, like, scrolling social media, that it's like, oh, yeah, dude, I want to make more money. Or like, oh, I would like to have more energy and feel better. And it starts so innocuous. Yeah, right. Same on both accounts.
But I love all of those things. But those vulnerabilities are what lead people like Kat to be able to take advantage of that and use it for their own gain.
Like a shark smelling blood in the water, for sure. Well, as I sit here in my Buckland Witchcraft Museum from Cleveland, we would be remiss not to say that we're going to travel to other places, too. So if you have a cool museum, that was a recommendation from listeners. So we would not have known about that or visited that or even got to meet up with a few listeners there if y'all hadn't let us know. So if there is something cool and spooky we should see in, we're headed next to San Diego, September 17th, Phoenix, September 18th, and Las Vegas, September 19th. And then we're ending it out with a show here in Dallas. But yeah, if you know anything spooky in San Diego, Phoenix, or Las Vegas, let us know, because we're headed that way for our full moon energy tour.
Yeah, we've been having so much fun. In fact, we're about to add some stuff to the script that is specifically moon and witchcraft related that hasn't been in the show before. So even if you've seen it, come on out, because we change it up quite a bit. So, but it's always about that beautiful beacon in the sky that we love so much, our moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there. Y'all don't even, you think you know? But you don't know. I promise you. You can't even begin to comprehend what allegedly might live up there.
We'll find out soon.
and what people think really happened during the Apollo missions. Uh-huh. There's a lot of conspiracy theories, cryptids. We go into true crime. It's basically everything you love about the podcast, all centered around the moon. Even if you don't, you know who we are, you live under the moon. We get what we affectionately call drag-alongs to all of our shows. So if you're like, I don't have anyone to go with, first of all, there's always such kind listeners there that are so willing to meet up and like grab dinner before or sit together if you're going solo, or just force your best friend or coworker or partner to come and be like, I promise you'll learn something at the very least.
At the very least, you'll come away saying, I didn't know that. I saw a meme today that was like, I do live under a rock and it's called the moon. So that's something that we all have in common. We're all just living under a rock. For all the details, including dates, times, venues, and more, head over to sinisterhood.com/live shows so that we can see you on the road. That's our favorite part of this, is meeting up with y'all.
For sure. And I am so excited about San Diego. I've only been once. It was so beautiful. The weather was perfect. And as I sit here still sweating from picking my kid up from school, which mm-hmm. is walking, I can't wait to get to a cooler area with the beach.
It's a nightmare from hell where we're at, and probably where you're at if you're listening to this. So sorry. We hope you have put a nice ice cube down your pants or whatever you do. Ooh, to cool off.
Sounds nice. Hey, might go do that.
Little suggestion. Put your bra in the freezer. I don't know what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Something, because we all need it for sure. But
little bra sickle.
We'll be nice.
Well, in the meantime, I'm Christy.
And I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. While Desiree and Leticia were living in Austin, Texas, in a large mansion with Kat and Zach, their families were frantically searching for them back in Brazil. Their parents worried the women had been kidnapped or possibly murdered. Leticia always kept in contact with her family from the time she moved to the U.S. in 2019. However, after she met Kat in early 2022, her contact with them dwindled to nothing. Leticia's family last heard from her in April of 2022, when her parents saw her at a bus station. Their daughter asked for her identification papers for a work assignment in the United States. She would not elaborate further. Their once kind and warm daughter treated them coldly, according to statements they made to Globo News.
And yeah, her family wasn't confused as to why she wanted to go to the States. Like we talked about in the first one, she had gone to Disney World. She'd always said that was like a dream. She wanted to work there. So, you know, your 19-year-old daughter's like, I think I'm going to go work as a nanny in Houston. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, oh, okay, it's a big city. There's a program you found that will match you up with the family, not knowing that there behind it is an Instagram influencer going, just tell them that it's a nanny mm-hmm. thing and sign up for it, and then you can just ditch it and come live with me.
And to know as the parents, like, this is not how our daughter normally acts. And now mm-hmm. she's about to move to another country. That's just the pit in your stomach that they must have had, like, feeling like something's wrong, sensing mm-hmm. something. But, I mean, she's an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't stop her. But it's just that inner parent feeling of, like, something's not right about this. She's not herself. And unfortunately, that maternal, paternal instinct was very right.
Yeah, it was not wrong.
After that, they only saw her via social media posts, often alongside Kat Torres. In August, Leticia's family filed a missing persons report. They received confirmation from law enforcement in September that their daughter had been in the United States for months since they'd last seen her. She had flown from Brazil to Houston, Texas on May 14th, 2022.
And for those of y'all not from Texas, Houston and Austin are, what, an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from each other? Not crazy. It's not
depending
like
on traffic. Yeah.
It's not like unreasonable that she flew into Houston for this nannying assignment, ostensibly, and then made it pretty quickly to where Kat and Zach were living.
Yeah. Yes. Desiree's family was also desperate for answers. They created social media accounts with the handle @searchingDesiree to generate leads. The effort gained traction, with users sharing the pages in their networks. Eventually, Brazilian model and actress Yasmin Brunet commented on the case via Twitter, requesting the police investigate.
And that's the kind of thing, is that they're still posting. And I think if you didn't have any suspicions, like, the, you know, if you weren't their family or friends knowing that something's amiss, like a random user would just be like, oh, mm-hmm. they look like they're having fun. They're all best friends and living in a house together. And they're like hustling for this wellness business. What a dream. And the family's like, She looks dead behind the eyes.
Yeah.
That's not what she looks like usually.
It reminds me very much of Love is One, mm-hmm. where the parents only saw their daughters in the live streams that they would do on behalf of Mother God. And mm-hmm. they all said, like, I mean, they sound like our kids, but they just are blank behind the eyes. They've completely changed. And I remember when we covered that one, it's sticking with me that one of the moms said, like, the only way she even knows if her daughter's alive and how she gets to see her is watching those live streams, which is heartbreaking because the live streams, they're rambling on because they've been brainwashed and they're talking about something that you know isn't healthy for them, but you have to tune in just to make sure that they're still alive.
Right. And it must be also hard watching that and then going to the authorities and going, hey, my daughter's missing. And the authorities are like, oh, hey, we found her. She's on Instagram. And you're like, okay, well, I know that it seems like she's there, but she's not, and I'm going to tell you why. And then also when Yasmin Burnett kind of speaks out, you have other people going, well, it sounds like it's just drama. You know, maybe it's just like influencer drama, but you couldn't, none of us, nobody could know. It's unimaginable.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think Kat used that to her advantage, knowing mm-hmm. that she's very good looking. The women she was bringing in were very good looking. She curated this, you know, life that they were all living. So from the outside, it looks pretty awesome. But on the inside, it was just everyone sleeping on couches soaked in cat pee. You're unable to leave your room. You can't even go to the bathroom because she doesn't want all you talking and you're being forced into sex work.
Yeah. No, it's she knew that whole idea of people only know what you show them, so we'll only show them really pretty stuff.
Yep. The search efforts, of course, pointed to Kat. The women had been featured heavily in her social media content, referred to as her assistants or clients. Kat publicly denied kidnapping the women, saying in frantic videos,
"The only thing I did was give the girls jobs, and that's all, nothing else. I said, you will work for me. If you work decently, if you are decent, your salary will be decent. And they started making a lot of money."
Kat neglected to say exactly how the women were making all of their money.
Or where the money went, which was to her safe and to pay, I guess, to pay the rent for a while at least.
It's so vague, though. Mm-hmm. Also, if someone said to me, you will work for me, and if you work decently and you're decent, your salary will be decent. Big red flags. Mm-mm. I want to agreed upon amount before I get there, which most of these women were told, like, you'll be paid $2,000. And then they get there. And now she's saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
Because now you're basically admitting, well, I told them if you work decently, then your salary will be decent, implying whatever you make is dependent on how much you work.
Mm-hmm. And reflective of how you do it. And that's why mm-hmm. you saw some of those nights they didn't come home. And she told them, you know, bring home $3,000 or you can't sleep here. Go sleep with men or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to see her on camera being very like, they're working hard and they're doing great. It's just it's disturbing, honestly. You know, it's like, fuck her. I hate her. She's such a bitch. But it's also just like creepy to watch a person stare into a camera knowing there's hundreds of thousands of people watching and blatantly just lie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is creepy. It takes a certain individual to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know, if she's been diagnosed with something or what, but it's the complete denial and lack of remorse or accountability is shocking.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Kat, Leticia, and Desiree all continued publishing videos during this time. Kat would depict them during so-called rituals in which Leticia and Desiree appeared to be drugged and speaking incoherently. Similarly, Desiree and Leticia posted videos of their own at Kat's command in which they told their families to stop looking for them.
This also made me think of the 7M management cult. We watched that documentary on the TikTok cult that mm-hmm. we watched the Netflix documentary about, where there's a woman in it that's to this day like, I'm happy. I'm doing great. I wish my family would stop saying I'm in danger. I'm not in danger. And again, you see the videos, you're like, you in danger, girl? Like,
yeah. The unblinking stare mm-hmm. into the camera trying to convince whoever, and meanwhile, who knows who's standing right off camera.
Go and say it again, but more believable.
Yeah. Same with Larry Ray. He mm-hmm, did the exact mm-hmm. same thing, too. I mean, it seems like a red flag if you gotta go on socials to tell people, hey, I'm okay, stop looking for me, especially family, I'm looking at you. Like,
yeah,
it's usually that means I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, hopefully, in this case, I'm glad the authorities were like, we'll keep looking. We're gonna keep working on this.
During one of these worrisome live streams, Brazilian model and actress Yasmin Burnett was concerned as she watched. She told Globo News,
I found the way she was speaking strange, to say the least. I told her, Leticia, everyone here on the live is super worried about you. We want to know if you're okay.
In response, Kat criticized Yasmin on social media, according to Brazil's Globo News. Kat also threatened the woman, saying in one video,
I will make you lose your children. You will regret who you messed with.
What's wild is, like, she says, again, the quiet part out loud. You're trying to convince everyone that nothing's amiss here.
Yes.
And then you're making public threats that you're going to make this woman lose her children. I mean, it doesn't take, obviously, if all these people watching are like, we're all worried about you. She's not doing a great job of making it look like everything's hunky-dory.
No, especially when her reactions to it are very telling. Mm-hmm. But I think Yasmin, from her perspective, I'm sure, you know, she has said later, I wish I never got involved. But you have that thought of, I'm a model too. You know, I've got, Yasmin was just on, to calculate kind of her level of fame, she was just on the Big Brother in this last season in Brazil. So like, you know, she's got some clout. She gets interviewed on television. So you kind of think, oh my gosh, I see something concerning. Maybe I'll speak out and say something. Not knowing that the person that you're speaking out against is going to go fucking scorched earth on you.
Right.
And threaten your kids. And so you think, oh, I just made a comment in a live reaching out to a person who I thought was a victim. And then you become a target.
Kat also went on video tirades against Yasmin. She called the fellow model stupid as well as ugly and commented on her facial features, saying,
have you seen Yasmin without plastic surgery? Show your face without everything you did to your face.
Kat said Yasmin resembled a member of a Brazilian ethnic group, a comment that experts told Noticias 7 News could be classified as racial slurs.
Yeah, she started going on a tirade about a certain tribal group and then aspects of Yasmin's face that maybe would resemble what would be stereotypical elements of that, and was really going in hard on it. And I did not know that in Brazil, you can actually be charged criminally, like verbal assault, but if it's you can be charged for that and it's like a smaller sentence, like a misdemeanor. But racial verbal assault, you can get charged and spend like a year to 3 years in prison, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a serious thing what she did. And she didn't just make a one-off comment. Again, she just sort of, she's going on these like uncontrollable tirades, which you wonder if the ayahuasca use didn't have something to do with that.
Yeah. She certainly seems like she can't control her outbursts of emotions.
Rage.
She is very vocal when she's pissed off about something and really goes for the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
I mean, really just like a mean girl, making fun of looks, you know, threatening like the most hurtful things you can imagine, which then you're like, if you're saying this about this person, why would we think that you're treating these women that are living with you just like fabulously?
Yeah, you speak to somebody that said, Leticia, if you need help, let me know. And your like response is to go on a racial tirade and call them ugly and talk about plastic surgery and stuff. It's like, that's not
threatened to take their kids away.
Yeah, that's not a rational response.
No, it'd probably raise, not even probably, it would certainly raise a lot more red flags for me. Then Leticia posted another video, making a shocking allegation. She said that she had been trafficked, but the perpetrator was not Kat. It was Yasmin Burnett. Leticia told her followers,
I was trafficked and kidnapped, not by Kat, but by Yasmin. She has a prostitution scheme out here. Desiree is in her power.
In the video, Leticia appeared tired, with dark circles under her eyes. She claimed to have escaped, but was willing to go back for her friend, saying,
guys, I want your help. I'm trying to talk and you don't believe me. Please, Desiree is in danger. Yasmin Burnett is still with her there. I managed to get out of captivity, but Desiree is still there. I'm going to try to save her. I'm going to try to risk my life for her. So that took a turn.
If I was Yasmin, and this is why I don't comment on lives anymore.
You know?
What you thought was helpful, all of a sudden now all of that vitriol is pointed at you when, again, all you're trying to do is help. So I would be on the phone with the cops like, hey, clearly something is going on here because they're doing too much after I said like one thing.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Kat's mind frame was like, okay, they think I am running a prostitution scheme. I know I am. I wonder if I can just pin it on Yasmin. Mm-hmm. It's like, she's in Brazil, dummy. You're in Austin. What do you think Yasmin in Brazil, who has a whole life as a model and reality show star, is also somehow running a sex work scheme out of a rental house in Austin where a whole other ass person lives? Like, what are you it's just irrational.
Most of the things she says are irrational and illogical. I think she lives in a world that it's her way or the highway. Mm-hmm. I mean, in her own mind and in everything she does, whether it's delusion from abuse she suffered as a kid or whatever, she just, you know, it's kind of the whole Costanza thing. If you lie enough, you eventually start to believe it. But it very much seems like she basically laid out exactly what she's doing, but pointed it at someone else, which again, you're saying the quiet part out loud, you idiot. For 2 days, the video remained up until Leticia retracted the allegations in a follow-up video with Kat and Desiree. Leticia said she had made the video as a
joke
to teach Yasmin
what it's like to be accused of something you didn't do.
Is this not defamation? Super. I mean, is that why that got taken down? I imagine her team got in contact with them pretty quick.
Mm-hmm, within like 2 seconds. Like what you said. Yeah, it's one thing to go on and say, I think Yasmin is ugly or I think she got plastic surgery and she looks worse. Those are mean. Mm-hmm. But they're opinions. At least in the United States, they're protectable. I did not also know that you can file charges for defamation in Brazil. It's a criminal thing that you can pursue as well as a civil thing. So in America, if you get defamed by someone, you're pretty much your remedy is going to be civil court and getting them to take it down and, you know, make you whole for whatever damages you suffered. But Brazil takes a little bit more seriously.
It seems like it. That and the other charges that you of the racial slurs.
Yeah, so. Right.
Yasmin was not amused by the women's joke. She went to the 4th Cybercrimes Police Station in Sao Paulo and made a report for slander, defamation, and threats. She told a Brazilian newspaper,
I will make sure to show them that there are indeed laws on the internet that need to be followed. This type of very serious accusation is not a joke you make on someone.
Good for her for following up and not letting that drop. Because somebody's it saying, is very serious, and it also doesn't let Kat continue to get away with stuff and, in fact, draws more attention to her.
And that's what I think, too, making that stand and not just going, oh, she's saying these mean things about me on the internet. Okay, well, she said it was a joke. She took it down. I'm just going to, like, ignore it. Being like, fuck you. I'm going to the cops. And guess what else? I'm going to tell the cops, I think there's something weird going on. I've been seeing these things. And that's exactly what Yasmin did. She's like, not only she made that report, but she's also like, I think these women are in danger. That's why I even got involved in the first place. And so I think the police investigating from the missing persons aspect now are getting connected with the now this allegation that Yasmin's running this scheme when she's not. Everyone's starting to go, okay, we're painting a picture of what's going on here. How do we get these women now is the problem. They're in another country.
Puzzle pieces. We're all starting to come into place. In another video, Leticia accused her father of sexually abusing her. He denied the allegation and told news outlets he believed Leticia may not be in a healthy mental state and suggested she was possibly making the allegations under threat. Just like the feeling at the bus station, a million times worse to know, like, this did not happen. This is the worst thing a parent can be accused of. And knowing that, like, I know my daughter when it's my daughter, and she would never say something like that. So it just amps up the anxiety of, like, she's really in trouble here.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like you said, when you know it's not true and you know how she normally comes across, which is like happy, carefree, bubbly, and she is slurring her speech and looking funny and then making these things up. Yeah, as a parent, you're like, okay, I'm about to fly to United States. I don't care.
Larry Ray did the same thing. Yeah. He convinced all those kids that their parents had abused them in multiple ways when they were kids. And remember, he had them call, even went over email to one of their houses.
He said, send him an email. I never want to see you again because of all the things you did to me. And the parents like, we didn't do anything, and this is the first time that any of this came up. And then mm-hmm. everyone came out of it going, oh my God, I said all those things to my parents, and really it was just this guy holding me hostage and not let me sleep for 12 hours or whatever. So I think it's the same thing here. You know, she wouldn't let them sleep. She wouldn't let them be alone. They didn't have anywhere comfortable to be, you know, whatever. So it's not unreasonable, the other side of the camera. And that's actually what I think pissed Kat off the most. I don't even think Yasmin's comment, hey, Leticia, if you're okay. But I believe in at least in one live, if not multiple, she began saying, turn the camera around. If you're really okay, show us the rest of the house. Like, give us a tour. Because it was very much like just this beautiful background behind them that would be static. And I was like, okay, well, if it really is, you know, everything's totally fine, show us the background. And the cat did not like that because I bet the background was a horrible hellhole that they all lived in.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. It's all tactics of isolation, mm-hmm. and keeping people under your control, keeping them away from their family. Kat's first victim, Anna, also noticed the At Searching Desiree campaign. She told the BBC that seeing headlines about Kat and the missing women made her immediately believe
Kat was keeping other girls.
She called law enforcement again, offering to share whatever she knew, telling the BBC,
I started to contact many people to get Kat arrested.
By October of 2022, both Leticia and Desiree's family had officially filed missing persons reports for the women. The families had a lead for the detectives. They had found Desiree and Leticia's profiles on an escort website, offering services out of Austin. As attention increased on the search for the women, Kat fled the Austin home she shared with Zach and went to Maine. According to the BBC, she soon sent plane tickets for Leticia and Desiree to join her. Kat's attempts to flee prosecution was futile, as she was under federal investigation. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Austin office made a call to the Franklin County Sheriff's Office in Maine, where Kat was staying.
Yeah, and it may be that, you know, people don't understand how law enforcement investigations like this work across state lines, or just think nobody's paying attention to me or whatever. But to think like I'll go from one U.S. state to another U.S. state and that'll keep me from getting in trouble. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. Once Homeland Security's on your ass, they have their fingers and everything, and they know where you move to. Like, they're going to know. And immediately they just called and were like, hey, yeah, she just went up there. Can you go get her? And the guys in Maine are like, yeah, we'll go get her. Thanks. Like, they're going to call local law enforcement. It's like trying to drive faster than a helicopter. Like, they're a helicopter or a radio. Can't. Like, they're faster than you. So you she probably didn't know. Yeah.
Also just cockiness of thinking, I'm above all this. I'm in control. Like, whatever, you know. Detective David DeVol received the tip about possible human trafficking on November 1st, 2022. According to a police report, Detective DeVol was told that Kat had a court order to be deported because she had missed an immigration court date. DeVol contacted Kat and convinced her to bring Leticia and Desiree to the station on November 4th for a wellness check. The women first spoke to DeVol over FaceTime. Before the call, Kat was secretly recorded, warning the women,
guys, they are full of tricks. He's a detective. Be very careful, for God's sake. I think she also said, if you say anything, I'll scream and kick you as well. So she was not in the car, just being like, okay, guys, they're police, so they might try to convince you of something. It was like, don't rat me out or I'll beat you. Like, okay, you filmed yourself saying that. Again, just filming it.
It's odd that she knows she's being filmed and is still saying these things. But yeah, they're all in the car on the way to the station, and she's kind of giving them, like, you would tell your kids, like, how to behave somewhere. It was very, like, you go in, you say these things. If she didn't take them, they were going to come find her. She knew that, so she kind of had to take them down there. But, again, I think she thought she was smarter than everyone there.
Oh, yeah.
The police report details how Kat and the two women emerged from a truck with Texas plates, registered to Zach. All three were video recording on their phones. The report noted Kat was
clearly agitated and speaking unintelligibly.
Once inside, Kat denied trafficking anyone and explained that the allegations were made up by her father-in-law, who did not want her married to Zach. The father-in-law was trying to ruin her life and push her away. An unnamed person started the rumors, which
spread through Kat's haters,
she said.
Yeah, so you sit down as a detective, and it's one of those where they're not asking questions most of the time they don't already know the answer to. So they have the evidence that they have, you know, financial transactions. They know you're now your immigration status, that you've missed a court date. So potentially you're going to get held on that. And for her, again, to still think that she can maintain a facade is the delusion of, I can show them and they'll all believe it. And that's mm-hmm. the crux of the mega influencer.
Yeah. And just shifting blame, like, oh, well, this narrative mm-hmm. isn't working anymore. So now I'm just going to invent a totally new story and bring the father-in-law into it.
Yeah. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Kat claimed the women had come to Maine to look at the leaves, and because Kat liked the area, Detective DeVol wrote in the report,
Kat became agitated that we were talking about the other girls.
When two representatives from a local domestic violence organization offered to speak to the women, Leticia and Desiree refused. DeVol told the BBC he noted several signs of trafficking when talking to the women, including how closed off both were and their unwillingness to talk with anyone away from Kat. They also had a deep distrust of law enforcement ingrained in them by Kat.
Yeah, these are common red flags of trafficking that the training that I went through, they said if the client or the potential trafficking victim is just like super physically closed off, arms crossed, head down, non-responsive, only will say yes, no, not really wanting to answer a lot and looking around for their trafficker. Mm-hmm. And that's what he said. It was just like training. It was absolutely checked every single box. And to have those representatives come in to just say like, hey, do you need any help? Or and to have Kat shoot them a look and for them to go, we don't need anything. Mm-hmm. No, we're okay. But her thinking, oh, I'm just going to tell him we like the leaves. Everybody comes up here for the leaves. He'll buy it.
I mean, Maine has great leaves, but yeah, these people didn't just fall off the turnip truck. They're high ranking law enforcement officials. Homeland Security's involved, you idiot. Like, no one believes that you just went up there to see the leaves change.
Also, though, for him, though, he could not have played this better. I think if he would have been way more aggressive, she probably would have fled to another state. But for him to say like, oh, he was very friendly on mm-hmm. all the interactions, like, oh, I just want to chat. He's like, these parents, they will not stop calling me. And probably the fastest way to get the parents off of everybody's case is just come in for a wellness check. Just come on down. And again, I'm like, do you not know in the United States, police can lie to you? So he did. They had no intent on letting any of them go that day because I think they DHS was going to hold them for immigration things. But for him to play it that way and not mm-hmm. like bust the door down or whatever or force them to come in or yell at them, I think, again, you let them think they're in charge. Right. Like Kat thought, oh, this is on my terms. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's on your terms. Come on in mm-hmm. the station.
She played right into it. On November 4th, 2022, all three women were taken into the custody of Border Patrol. Leticia and Desiree had expired visas. Kat was under serious investigation on human trafficking allegations from Brazilian authorities. They were all taken to an immigration processing facility in Georgia. Leticia's mother told the newspaper Ex Tempo,
"The three of them are in jail, but we still don't know why. I'm very worried. The last time we had contact was on October 14th when a conversation between me and Leticia was exposed on social media. I believe it was Kat who posted it."
The violation that these parents mm-hmm. continue to suffer at the hands of her. And again, it's that ripple effect of abuse mm-hmm. that, you know, you're trying to have like connection, get your daughter back to safety. And then your whole conversation is put on blast on the internet. So you're like, I really have no one-on-one contact with her. Everything is monitored by this lady.
And not only monitored, but then made public.
Yeah, used against you.
Yeah, and just that's the thing with an abuser like this. She doesn't just abuse Leticia and Desiree. Obviously, they took the most of it, the brunt of it. But their parents, their siblings, grandparents, extended loved ones, best friends. I mean, people are not islands. You know, mm-hmm. we're all our own little communities onto ourselves. And so that harm, like you said, ripples out for sure.
Leticia and Desiree were sent back to Brazil and reunited with their families. In an interview with Globo News, Desiree said,
"Today, I'm fully aware that I was a victim of Kat Torres. She used my faith, spirituality, empathy, and the feeling of friendship I had for her to make me move to another country and do things that go against my essence. Through manipulation and abuse of faith, she made me distance myself from the people I loved most until I found myself completely alone, with no escape and totally under her control."
Leticia also recanted on her previous accusations against her father. She explained to Globo News that Kat convinced her to make the false claims in order to keep Leticia separated from her family.
Yeah, the idea of just feeling like I've got no hope. Yeah. Like Leticia can't help me, or you know, Desiree can't help me if you're Leticia. And because you're kept separate in your separate rooms, and Anna got away only with the help of the guy she started dating. And it's like Kat thought, oh, and Sol got away because her ex came mm-hmm. and got her. And I think Kat thought, okay, well, I've really got to keep them in their rooms, and I got to keep them away from these guys because they're not getting away again.
Yeah. It's best case scenario that they were sent back to their families and mm-hmm. quickly realized the control that they had been put under and, you know, weren't trying to get back to her making apologies for. I think they wanted out for a very, very long time and had seen the writing on the wall for a long time. So,
no, I think you're right.
So good that they, and that she recognized like the damage that it had on their family and went public and took that back too.
Oh, most definitely. It seems like both of them, the spell was broken, you know, so to speak. The everything is perfect, like luring them there ended pretty quickly once she got them working into the sex work, you know, mm-hmm. once she started to convince them of that. And I think for that reason, because she was the third, I guess, really fourth victim, Sol, when she saw that start to happen to her and was like, that's the turning point. I got to get out before that turning point. Mm-hmm. And Desiree couldn't have known because she was the first. Leticia couldn't have known because it was hidden from her. And it was only by the, you know, good fortune that Sol was able to overhear that phone conversation. Go, oh, fuck, I'm next. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I don't think it was like, send me back to Kat. We miss Kat. We love her so much. It was like, oh, thank God, Mom and Dad, I missed you so much. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
And Anna happened to get out in time before she started mm-hmm. being forced to do sex work, but that was definitely on the horizon for her.
No, I think so. Yeah, I think Kat probably went, oh, free labor is great, but boy, wouldn't it be great if they gave me money and I really didn't have to do any work.
Free labor and, and an income?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's everybody's dream, but the way to go about doing that's not this. And the other thing I think is, as far as the spell being broken, them wanting to go back, there's footage. It's now been deleted, but there was footage of Kat and Zach had a lot of weapons in the home, which is not mm-hmm. unusual for Texas. But if anyone's wondering, like, oh, well, if she just was telling him not to leave, there was sort of an implication of like, oh, well, we have rifles in the house. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, you do? And it's like, yeah, he loves to keep his gun on the bedside table. So don't leave your room. Yeah. Have a good night. And it's like, well, that's not really an overt threat, but it's a threat.
It's implied. I have to imagine there were a lot of locks and cameras mm-hmm. and other ways that would prevent you from leaving, too. Kat was deported to Brazil. As soon as she stepped off the plane, she was arrested immediately by Brazilian authorities. A complaint was filed against her in federal court in Brazil, accusing Kat of abusing Desiree from April 2022 through November of that year at least. The complaint alleged Kat used housing and work to entice Desiree to the United States with the purpose of subjecting her to work conditions
analogous to slavery.
Prosecutors pointed to the long working hours at the strip club, the sex work, and sugar daddy websites, all with no pay to Desiree, done in the name of Kat's inner voice guiding her actions.
And that's a question I kind of had that has not been answered yet, probably just because Brazil, it might have been a deal between DHS and Brazilian authorities, that she was not arrested in the United States on charges of human trafficking, which would have resulted in likely her being tried here, detained here after the end of her sentence, then deported. Instead, the U.S. said, you know what, you missed your court hold. Brazil said, send you back. We're going to send you back. And Brazil had already issued a preemptive arrest warrant, which means the second the wheels of the plane touch down, they have the authority to arrest you. But maybe it just was that DHS was like, we don't have all the information that the Brazilian authorities have. We'll let y'all have this one. Kind of where that decision was made. I have not seen any officials come out and say why.
Yeah, that is interesting. I haven't either. But at least someone didn't let it fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Desiree told Globo News that during the time she was with Kat, she was instructed to lie and push her family as far away as possible. She described Kat as cold and calculating behind her Instagram persona. As investigators probed into Desiree's case, they discovered other reports of women being preyed upon by Kat, in addition to Leticia and Sol. In statements to the prosecutor's office, these other witnesses described how Kat promised them both romantic and financial success if they followed directions from the voice, which often spoke to Kat after ayahuasca tea sessions. Public records show that Kat and Zach were officially evicted from their 5-bedroom mansion in the suburbs near Austin in January of 2023 due to non-payment of rent. After the eviction, the things from inside Kat's house were placed out front. Their neighbor Wayne told the BBC,
"The whole front yard was just full."
Wayne then held up the
unusual things
he had found in the yard so the BBC crew could film them, including voodoo dolls and dried herbs in packages labeled for health and romance. Wayne had previously Googled his neighbors and knew Kat was called a cult leader by some, and that she claimed on her own website that she could heal people with magic. Still, when he saw another bag amongst his former neighbor's items that was labeled for exorcisms, Wayne told the BBC,
"I thought that was a little unusual."
Well, wouldn't
we all?
I'd
agree with you, bud.
Yeah,
bud.
Especially in an Austin suburb. That's not something that usually your neighbors are probably dealing with.
No, I want a whole separate sub-series just on Wayne's perspective of this, of like, but seriously being like, some shit is going on over there. Like, I know those people aren't safe. That's weird. There's something going on. And he, from the beginning, when he was like, they're not saying hi, they're being all weird, they're keeping their heads down. And on the one hand, you're like, honey, they're just like the new neighbors. Maybe they just don't want to talk to you. But when the shit gets out on the front lawn, you're like, well, there's fucking exorcism stuff. So you tell me who's right and who's wrong. This is just me as a nosy neighbor slash paranoid person siding with Wayne and creating an entire narrative in my head that would just exonerate him. But I think he really was just a concerned neighbor and was very happy when she was arrested, for sure.
Yeah, I'd be sitting Tommy down and being like, you want to watch a little movie called The Burbs? And then you want to go tell me that our neighbors aren't up to some shit?
Nope, Wayne was right.
That same month, Zach posted a link in a private WhatsApp group for Kat's followers asking for donations to a GoFundMe, Globo News reported. On the fundraiser's page, her 23-year-old husband wrote,
"Hi, this is Zach Mankin, Kat's husband, if you don't know. My wife was deported and wrongfully imprisoned in Brazil, so I'm raising money to help me with the animals, have money to eat and a roof over our heads until we can travel to Brazil where my wife is. Anything helps. I need $1,500. Thank you for your support."
Come on.
Yikes. What makes this the most yikes, too, is because Leticia and Desiree were not the only victims. At least 20 people between the BBC and Brazilian authorities have come forward saying, yeah, she was trying to lure me there, too. So messaging a follower group and being like, they're saying that Kat lured people to America with these promises and then did horrible things. And they're like, well, she did try to lure me. And so that's probably true, right?
And also being the type of guy that, instead of being on the right side of this and, you know, going to the authorities with the information you have, getting a job to, you know, pay your own way, you're still trying to go to that well because he got used to living the lifestyle that he was living with all that money coming in. He didn't want to give it up. Who knows, too, 23-year-old man living in a house where there are at least 3 women that are being forced to do sex work, being in prison there. I don't know that he didn't engage. I don't know that he did. But I wouldn't be shocked to learn that, you know, he was culpable in this. Obviously, he's culpable. He knew what was going on, and he's still asking for money.
That's the crazy part, is that there's not been, through any of the reporting I've seen or we've seen through the research, the BBC documentary, that he's not like, Colburn is her first husband that came out and was like, I'll tell you what you want to know. Here was my part in it. I'm sorry for what I did. We were divorced when all this went on. I didn't know any of that, but I'll tell you up front everything I knew. To not have him vehemently come out and say, like, she was forcing me to do this, or maybe he's gotten his own attorneys and said, shut the fuck up.
Maybe.
But it is an interesting tack to take, that when a, now we can say without doubt, a sex trafficker has been arrested, to say, could you send me some more money? Bitch, get a fucking job. What are you doing? Get a fucking job like the rest of us. I need $1,500. Okay, dog, go get you an application at any number of the fine restaurants and businesses, retail, anything. People work fucking hard for their money. And to be like, can you just give me a little bit? It's not like you got hit by a truck and something unfortunate happened. It's, you were seemingly, we will caveat, again, I haven't seen any charges against him, but you are seemingly at least benefiting wonderfully off of these, the backs of these women's extremely denigrating, hard, horrible work. Fuck you with your $1,500 mm-hmm. request.
For sure. It's also very sus to me to be like, I need help with the animals and have money to eat. Anything helps. I need $1,500. It's like, anything helps, but then immediately giving an amount raises a red flag, because I feel like that's a tactic with scammers that, like, if mm-hmm. you have a goal, then they're mm-hmm. like, okay, we just need to, I just need 10 more dollars to get to the goal mm-hmm. I need for this. You know, if you just tell people like, I need money, well, it's, there's not a goal. People like goals. People like to see yeah. that, like, they've helped somebody achieve something. But also, you're telling me that $1,500 exactly is what you've calculated to take care of your animals and eat. That's, to me, is just a number that you're going to get to, and then you're going to up it, and it's going to keep yeah. going up, because that's what people like that do.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the GoFundMe. I'm sure it's been taken down. So I was like, well, I didn't know if he made the $1,500 or not. But it's giving Mother God. Oh, I need yeah. to put a tilt-a-whirl in my backyard. Yes. Please send me $6,000 for a tilt-a-whirl. Mm-hmm. Like, get a job.
Get a real job.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
As she sat in jail waiting for a trial, the BBC was investigating Kat's story. Over 20 victims came forward to the news organization, all claiming they had been scammed or otherwise exploited by Kat. Vice also picked up the article, covering Kat in March of 2023. In June of 2024, Kat stood trial for her actions against Desiree. The case was tried in federal courts in Kat's home state of Rio de Janeiro, but the proceedings were closed to the public in consideration of Desiree and the other victims' privacy. At trial, the judge determined that Kat lured Desiree to the U.S. with the aim of sexual exploitation. Even though the proceedings were closed door, Kat later admitted in an exclusive interview with the BBC that she laughed during some of the testimony because what was being said was so ridiculous.
The way I want to throw a shoe at her.
No, she's, like, oh man, she really is infuriating to watch.
And to watch her saying that, and she's like, I just laughed. I'm like, you bitch.
Yeah, every video.
Knowing what these poor victims went through and to treat it that way, either, and I don't ever want to let anyone off the, it's like extreme delusion or just heartlessness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heartlessness to know that she's making her dance naked 13 hours a day or more. And also the things listed on that Sugar Baby website, the acts that Kat created these websites for Leticia and Desiree. And if anyone wants to engage in sex work, I'm fine with someone volitionally saying, I really would like to do this. This is a passion for me. I'm like, go do it.
On your own terms.
We should all be able to do what we love. But to say, I'm going to make the website and I'm going to say, you love to do X, Y, and Z weird fetish thing because I know you're going to make more money and it, because it violates you more, and being forced to do that and then to have the audacity to laugh at them in court. And then by extension, your ne'er-do-well bitch-ass estranged husband's like, can I have $1,500? Mm-hmm. Like, nah, dude.
No, they're all so embarrassing and infuriating. Her, like you said, I want to throw a shoe. Anytime I've seen her talk or anything, she's just so fake, so obnoxious. nothing about her seems kind or genuine.
Mm-mm, just horrible. What can I get out of this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can I make the most money by doing the least amount of work possible? And in fact, and inflicting abuse upon others while I do it.
Mm-hmm.
While she was awaiting the verdict, the BBC was granted rare access to interview Kat in prison. During the interview, conducted in April of 2024, Kat reiterated her claims of innocence, saying,
there's no proof. There's no crime.
Kat explained she was being held because people thought she could
take the minds of the people and change them.
When asked if she could change minds, she laughed and said,
can I? You tell me, can I? I hope I can.
That was the most cringe interview I've seen in a long time. Just the flipping of the hair. It's like, this ain't Vogue, bitch. You're being interviewed in prison by the BBC because of these horrible claims, and you're so flippant about it. When, again, delusion, just heartless, whatever it is, unless you are so delusional that you really don't think all of these things are going to come out in the wash – you're just biding time and making it worse for yourself, because when it does come out, you look like an even bigger fool.
And an even bigger monster. Yeah. So, like, I think that word you said, flippant, was so apt to describe like how her attitude is when faced with something like this, to giggle and laugh and treat it like they said, tell us what your favorite vacation is. What's your favorite ice cream flavor? And it's like, oh, ice cream. I do love ice cream. But to be like, oh, trafficking. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's so disturbing. It's weird.
It's almost flirty with the cameraman. Yes. Like, this is how I've always kind of won people over. So I'm continuing it. When you're like, these aren't your followers on Instagram. This is a this is the BBC. They're journalists. No. They're not going to fall under your spell.
No, she's like pronoid. It's like she, instead of paranoid, she thinks everyone loves her. Ooh. And that it's all a big party just for her. Mm-hmm. I learned that word from the movie Fierce Creatures, and it's one of my favorite movies. Highly underrated, with Kevin Klein. But Jamie Lee Curtis has this whole rant when she goes off on this like rich asshole, kind of like, he's sort of like an Elon Musk-y kind of guy, like a richy billionaire that can kind of, he's actually a Rupert Murdoch kind of guy. But she's just like, you're pronoid. You think the whole world revolves around you. It's all one big party, and that we're all here to serve you, and then it's all about you. And you assume that we all love you and we're all excited to hear you talk. And that's how she speaks. It's very much like, oh, we're all here for me.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that get in the media that I would say are pronoid. Mm. Elon Musk being one of them.
He can eat my farts.
Eat them too. Not just he smell them.
With a spoon.
Oh, man. Yeah, J.D. Vance and Trump can also get in line for that.
One day I'm going to be in some official capacity. They're going to be like, and it says, Ms. McKinney, did you use the term that the gentleman could eat your farts? And I'm going to be like, yeah, I said that. Absolutely, I did. I'll say it again.
I just did, in fact. Kat told the BBC about the voices she heard guiding her. She also denied that any of the women lived with her, saying,
no women lived with me other than my dog.
She similarly denied writing the threatening message to Anna, in which she said Anna's skull had a special place in her home. Kat explained that someone may have written it, but it wasn't her.
Again, it's that like, oh my gosh, I don't know what?
Just playing stupid, like everyone's gonna believe this. But that's the thing with narcissists is, I mean, you can't make somebody admit something. So it's, you just get into this like button heads with someone, it goes nowhere. And you're like, all right, well, we can't keep talking about this. If you say you didn't write it, we all know you did. But if you're gonna continue to say you didn't, and paint this narrative, then what? I mean, you can't argue with somebody like that or reason with them.
Right, to say there's like seven witnesses that testified. Yeah. There's all this digital evidence. The neighbor is like, yes, not that he testified, but he sure damn told the BBC, like, no, they lived over there. Sure. I saw them. I found this shit on the lawn. Like,
they said they lived there. The women.
She posted videos of it.
There's videos or there's like paper trails that say, like, come live with me and do this job and I'll pay you this. So it's, honestly, she's just, she gaslights everyone around her and thinks that she's the smartest person and then no one's going to call her on it or, you know, she's going to have to admit to it. But anybody watching it is like, dude.
No, like that's how it feels. You're where it's broad daylight and someone's like, it's nighttime. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, the sun is on me. I'm burned and I don't know, the stores are open. It's night. I'm telling you, it's nighttime because I know it's night. And those kind of people, you just go, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah, no, you don't have anything to talk definitely. About. When confronted with $21,000 in money transfers from Desiree, Kat claimed they were for Ubers. The BBC producer pushed, saying that would be around £600 or $772 per Uber ride. Kat insisted that Ubers for the women would sometimes total $3,000 to $4,000 per month.
I've been to Austin. Many of our wonderful listeners live in Austin. Ubers in Austin are expensive, but they ain't no $772 a ride expensive.
No, that's
unless
crazy.
You're taking the Uber from Austin to Oklahoma. Yeah. Like, you know, you're driving right across the state, then that's fine. But yeah, for her to go, again, okay, well, she sent you $21,000 in like a very short amount of time, like 1 month or 1 week's time. And she's like, yeah, it's for Ubers. It's like, well, we can check your Uber account. And no, it wasn't.
No, yeah.
It just wasn't, though.
It wasn't. And where are you Ubering these people to? To clients' house? Well, one, you can't go over state lines in an Uber, I'm pretty sure. Mm-mm. So, like, Austin to, yes, Texas is big, but Austin to anywhere, like, it just doesn't, it doesn't add up. And again, no. Like, it's like, bitch, just admit it. Stop lying. It's like you're just looking at someone going, you know you're lying. I know you're lying. You know I know you're lying, but you just keep lying.
They just stay dug in. Mm-hmm. It's so eerie to watch. But at the end of this interview, she clearly took a turn on the producers and did not like them after they were really pushing her with the facts, as a narcissist often does. Mm-hmm. And at the end, they're like, oh, can you really curse people? And she's like, I guess she'll find out. And then points to one of the producers and is like, I didn't like her. But it's, again, you thinking like, I'm cursing you now. It's like, okay, I'm cursing you back.
Yeah, yeah.
Squishing. I feel like, what is it, Kids in the Hall? I'm squishing your head. I'm squishing your head. You can't stop me. It's like, I am cursing you. I'm like, cool, I'm cursing you right back. Yeah, so whatever. Yeah.
But that tactic has worked for her. So, mm-hmm. you know, and sadly, there's still people it would work on, you know?
Right.
Hopefully it wasn't the BBC producer.
No, not at all. And I think that shows when she's no match for someone who is not in a vulnerable state, mm-hmm. is not in a state of mind of like, oh, like this person's just doing their job, asking them questions. So that kind of idea won't work on them, but she still tries it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you wonder in prison, is she going to start a little mini cult?
Yeah. Little mini coven. Or she's going to get her ass handed to her.
She might.
Right in your mouth like that in a Brazilian mm-hmm. women's prison?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be taken kindly to. But, you know, she's got influence, but so do a lot of the other people in there. Like you said, she hasn't met her match before.
No. And that's what it's like. You go in prison and there are certain people that they don't have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh, I'd like to better my life. It's like, I'll spend the rest of my life in here and insert horrible thing here. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck. Or maybe she'll find rehabilitation. We can only hope.
On June 28th, 2024, Kat Torres was sentenced to 8 years in prison for what she did to Desiree, including human trafficking, slave labor, and luring her to the United States for the purpose of sexual exploitation. Kat is still under investigation for acts committed against Leticia and other women who lived with her. Kat's attorney, Rodrigo Menendez, told the BBC he had already appealed the conviction and maintained that his client is innocent. Kat also remains adamant that she is innocent and believes one day she will have her business back up and running again, saying in an interview with the BBC,
fame will catch me wherever I am.
So conceited, it makes me want to throw up.
Mm-mm. That idea of like, oh, okay, 8 years. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what social media is popular then. Mm-hmm. I'll just do that.
Ugh. Kat has had a lasting impact on her victims. The BBC identified at least 4 other women who nearly moved to Austin to live with Kat, and over a dozen others who claim to have been scammed or exploited by Kat in some way. Since escaping, Kat's first victim, Anna, has become a qualified nutritionist. Desiree said in her book that she still struggles with what happened to her, writing that she can still hear Kat in her head and that the experience led to suicidal thoughts. However, Desiree bravely shared her story with a goal in mind, writing in her book,
I hope my story serves as a warning.
A silver lining is that she has been reunited with her family and mm-hmm. really wants her story to serve as a warning for others so other women don't go through the same ordeal that she did.
No, I agree. And it's not easy to even talk about what happened, but much mm-hmm. less sit down and write a whole entire book and sort of detail what you've gone through. And same with Anna and Leticia being willing to talk to the BBC and as well as Globo News before that, just like reopening those wounds over and over again. I hope that it seems like both of them happily reunited with their family. They're both on these good healing journeys. But it is a very, very generous thing for all three of them to continue to come forward and talk about this and be willing to speak out, because otherwise that's how people like Kat proliferate. Yeah.
And the more people that speak out, the more others are encouraged and, you know, have the support to speak out too, which is what's happened. I mean, mm-hmm. women have come out of the woodwork to say they experienced the same thing or almost did.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Kat remains in jail and does not appear to show any remorse or regret for what she did to these women. The investigation into what she did to other victims is ongoing. Still, Kat remains adamant she is not guilty of any crimes, telling the BBC.
You choose to believe whatever you choose to believe. I can tell you I'm Jesus and you can see Jesus or you can see the devil. It's your choice. It's your mind.
So what do we think?
She's definitely a person, I think, that was able to manipulate reality for a time and didn't get caught so much that she kept going. And I think you see that with people who are liars or fraudsters or scammers, kind of like her. They will escalate, and it all starts back at Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, she never dated him. Yeah. And her whole entire career is predicated that she made this up. I saw on a couple of subreddits that were more Brazilian and gossip subreddits, but they said there were allegations at the time that she sort of just walked behind Leo at that event and put her hand on his shoulder and paid a photographer to take a picture. And then she disseminated that picture to gossip sites in Brazil. It got picked up by the Daily Mail, which got picked up by Yahoo News and blah, blah, blah. But the allegation is that Leo and her, like, maybe were at a party together, but she happened to, it's like me putting up my picture of John Cusack that I have in the studio wall and being like, yes, we dated. It was an intimate experience. We were so in love. I don't like to talk about it, but we're truly in love. Based on the picture, we look like we are truly in love. Yeah. Like, she was just walking happy behind couple. Him, touching his back. Yeah, we look like a happy couple. But when you see, like, oh, that worked, you know, like, even though Leo came out and denied it, and then she later was like, oh, we were just friends. I just, you know, anyway. But anyway, now that I have all these Instagram followers, it's like a different grift, a different grift, a different grift. So I think it's a good thing that the BBC picked up the story that really made it from a more Brazilian-based story, you know, because she was more well-known in Brazil. International story, so that when she does get out, if she does try to get on the Beyonce's internet, that we're all like, nah, bitch, we know who you are and you're not doing that again. Unless, of course, it is, I am rehabilitated. I feel so bad for what I've done. However, at no point has she ever taken responsibility for what she did. So I'm not really holding my breath for that.
Yeah, the Leonardo DiCaprio thing is wild because I really don't think he even knows who the hell she, I mean, you might know now, but it's so easy to start celebrity gossip because it's really hard to debunk because celebs can be very secretive about who they're dating. And also Leonardo DiCaprio is famously with a lot of young models. So it's a pretty easy in, like, people are probably going to buy this story. Even if they don't, like, I'm going to get a lot of followers. And like, once that's done, then it's done. Then you just have like a platform you started, and now you have a jumping off point.
Right. And if she would have just done that and used that to then get a platform and get more modeling jobs, or she wanted to start an Amazon storefront and become an affiliate marketer, like something that's at least like borderline above the like above board, but to then say, well, I'm going to use it to get followers and then the coaching, and it's all just doesn't, it's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. And that's the thing about anybody like this, obviously, a well-adjusted, happy person does not become a cult leader and or human trafficker or sex trafficker. But that issue is when your internal problems are so much and you're a person with so many internal problems that are unaddressed, then has access to a large audience, a large group of people. There's always going to be, if she has a million followers and she sex traffics one of them, that's too many.
No, yeah.
And that's still to go like, oh my gosh, that's a one in a million chance. That's still so dangerous when we platform people that we don't really know who we're platforming. And it's just, I think, going to come along with the internet as it develops. You know, goddamn, there's a fucking TikTok filter now. You put it on your face and it's like, what social media was popular the year you were born? And
oh,
I'm like,
no.
Well,
is it like, I'm going to do it and it's going to be like stone carvings,
covered wagon meetups. Like, I was like, 86 malls?
Yeah. Malls? Like, yeah. Three way calling?
Hell yeah. But no, it's like, as we just, the internet's just new, right? Like, we've only been at this about 24 years. And so understanding like, oh, we can't just trust everybody we first see. Right. It's kind of like early days of TV when you had, you know, whether it was televangelists or scammers or soupy sales going, hey, kids, go in your parents' room and find those green pieces of paper and send them into me. And he was kidding. But not knowing what you can and can't say on the internet, I think we're going to move towards it is becoming more guardrailed so that hopefully we don't see people like this. But internet or no internet, there's always monsters hiding and ready to take advantage.
Yeah, more regulations, more repercussions for people that violate and break those internet rules. We definitely need stricter internet rules on a lot of stuff with this, mm-hmm. with what, who can have access to kids. And mm-hmm. it's just, it's crazy because like we all feel in their kids and I mean, now 24-year-olds that like don't know a world without the internet. But when you mm-hmm. put it in perspective of like how long it's been around, it really hasn't been that long. Mm-mm. And for sure, like and even in 10 years, you're going to be like, wasn't that crazy when people could just do counseling sessions on Instagram?
Like, yeah, and with some rando who mm-hmm. has no credentials whatsoever. No, I agree. I think we will look back possibly on this whole I'm a coach, I'm a whatever in the next five, hopefully sooner years and say, oh my gosh, can you believe people used to do that the same way that we look back and go, we just used to get free music from Napster.
Right.
Like, well, it's not free, right? It was just unregulated. Nobody really knew what to do or to, you know, get into it. Now is Spotify and Apple and all the streaming things, that's a whole other discussion if that's a better solution. But it is interesting that we look back and go, when I was a kid, we just got music for free. Mm-hmm. Like it just, or, and you could type in anything
or
and you
movies.
Could go to any of these. Yeah. Movies, anything, pornography, although you can still get that for free. But the idea that we had this wild, wild west and we're like, oh, well, we've come so far now and it's only been 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we haven't come far enough because there is still this ability to run a wide dragnet and pull up. Like I said, if you got a million followers and you can find three of them, mm-hmm. Desiree Center, 21 grand in a month. Yeah. Like, that is a return on your investment, but it is a horrible, horrible business to be running. And I hope that she, I believe she's still under investigation for what she did to Leticia. She's only been charged so far and convicted of what she did to Desiree. So she will likely face, or, you know, I don't know that she'll plead out because her attorney is saying she's innocent, but face another trial with what she did with Leticia. And then also subsequently any of the other charges, you know, the four other people that almost moved there or the dozen or so other people, if they're within the jurisdiction of Brazil, they'd be able to get her for those too.
Keep stacking up those charges. Mm-hmm. Keep her there. I imagine she is a nightmare of a client for that attorney who just is like, I didn't do anything. I didn't, you know, using her.
You're like, just tell me the truth.
Seduction methods on her own mm-hmm. team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, maybe I'm Jesus. Maybe I'm the devil. It's your choice. I'm like, lady, this is an interview asking you about crimes you did. Like, could you perhaps take this fucking seriously yeah. for 5 seconds? This yeah. isn't like your biopic, although I'm sure that's what you want.
Yeah, it's the like casual flirtiness, the coyness mm-hmm. like, that just pisses me
know,
off.
To me.
No, it burns with the fire of a thousand suns when I see people acting. I don't like coy. I don't like that. It just, it irks me on just like a low level. So then even when it gets to this, we're like, you have used it to the worst. You've used it to do the worst things you can, that I'm just like super duper pissed. So
yeah,
I'm like, keep stacking up those charges. Keep her there. And I hope that she does get help that she obviously mm-hmm. needs while she's there and does reform and rehabilitate and take some accountability. If not, I hope her victims are able to continue, you know, telling their story and sharing their side to help others and heal on their own. Because
yeah,
many, many times you don't get that apology or recognition or acknowledgement from the person that did you wrong. So we got to look within ourselves to be able to move on and heal.
That is true. Yeah. And I hope they're all thriving because at the end of the day, that's all they wanted, right?
Yeah.
It was to thrive and, you know, be healthy, happy, and be able to take care of themselves. And hopefully that's what they finally got.
Yeah. Be seen, feel like mm-hmm. they're worth something, you know,
yeah.
Part of a community. So I hope that they have all found that. And I'm so glad that they're all back with their families.
Yeah.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 900 hours of various content like Judge Christie, Dear Sinister, True Crime Headlines, so many Reddit bits, Heather's Saves. There's just an endless amount of silly things that we do mixed in with also like updates on true crime cases we've covered.
Absolutely. We have a True Crime Headlines coming up the end of the month. Before that, we're going to bring you a Dear Sinister, which we are excited to do because there's some really good ones in there. Like, They're all of the three of these. I was like, we have to do a Dear Sinister. These are excellent entries. So thanks to everybody who sent those in. And an unpopular opinions dropped last week. If you missed that, someone went, you guys, all that talk about cheese in the episode. And I was like, we did talk a lot about cheese. So go check that out. And if you're not sure what the hell we're talking about, go on to our Patreon. You can join for free. Like Christy said, you get the once a month bonus content for free, literally just for being there. You don't have to pay anything. You can also do a 1 week free trial. And when during that 1 week, sign up for whatever tier, the highest tier, if you want, poke around. If you do the highest tier, you can go back and watch the replay of our quarterly bonus content, Am I the Asshole Live, which we posted a video on social about the guy getting really pissed off at the Halloween.
So good.
And Paris edited that into a beautiful, funny 3 minutes, but that whole bit's almost like 7 or 8 minutes long. And there are a lot more jokes did not make the teaser, but you can check that out with our free trial. If you cancel before the week's over, you don't get charged. And you can also take advantage and listen to anything that you want or watch anything you want. You can watch our Live at the Texas Theater special as part of the perks on there. So get on and just dig around and see what's in there and see if you even want to stick around.
Yeah, do it. And we hope that you do.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
For everyone that's recently signed up for Patreon, thank you so much, and make sure to stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
Head over to sinisterhead.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos, like our matching Believe and Be Kind. We have adult and kids versions designed by our junior researcher Ella with the Flatwoods Monster, and be sure to use your Patreon discount code to make sure you're getting the best deal possible.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super easy to leave us a review. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those tickets for the Full Moon Energy shows.
We'll see you on the road. Follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Be sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. We drop full video versions of our Wednesday episodes. They're ad-free on Patreon, but they're free to everybody on YouTube. And then check out TikTok for clips from the show, including our Am I the Asshole costume fight, which is very funny. And if you want a custom video shout out for yourself, head over to cameo.com and order one today. You can get exciting, happy back to school. Here's some advice from us. I need a pep talk. It's a birthday, anniversary, anything like that. We absolutely love to interact with y'all on Cameo. So go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the computer?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Drew Canfield,
Rebecca Miller,
Annika Hernandez,
Gwen Samuels,
Olivia Watling,
Dawn Lemon,
Courtney Sobd,
Joanne,
Daniel Curtis,
and Victoria Lewis. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.